Ready? You gonna tune?
Tune it. Very good idea.
Tune it.
All right. All right, you ready?
Can't wait. I had it, and then you threw me a curveball. So
I don't have it.
No,
this is the first one. I don't know.
Do one more quick
one. Yeah, one more.
Do it. Do it gooder.
I really thought it was gooder. Okay,
gooder it up.
My dad has this one right now. I'm just gonna tell you guys right now.
I feel like I know it, but I cannot place it.
You both do, you jackasses.
Yeah, well.
I have to wait till the end.
Dang it. This is the torture part.
I think it's harder when you're on the spot.
Yeah, totally.
Just don't worry about it. You know, I was thinking tonight before I came over here.
About getting life insurance?
No.
Right?
That didn't even cross my mind. I was thinking about how Katie was going to murder another song on the harmonica, but I think he actually did do a good job.
You did a great job last
week.
That
I just don't know what it is.
You will.
I need a couple more verses.
You will.
But I was going to say, you guys comment on Facebook and stuff, and we listen. We try it out. I don't have all the best gear. Katie's just not very good at this. I tried all the other mics, and she needs to do better. So
I'm impressed.
It's we're working on it. We tried moving stuff around, and it's just kind of how it is. Yep. So
trial and error.
It's not me. It's you. We even did like an hour on Friday night with the voice changer on.
Yeah, that one was with fun.
This voice changer, we all had it on for an hour.
We did. What did you talk about?
I don't even know. We should have recorded it.
No.
Anyway, some people like that. Some people don't. Just either deal with it or don't. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
That being said.
Yeah.
I did have one other person say it was hard to find where to listen to the podcast. So,
You just need to go to crossingtheline.live,
and then it'll be right in there.
So. Yeah. And then there's a listen now button and you can click on that and it'll take you to all your episodes. But also Jack is holding up a sign that says Katie sucks right now. Thank you. But also you can stream it on any of your major, podcast things that you usually listen to podcasts on Spotify, Apple, anything like that.
Yep.
So,
did you notice the 3 exclamation points?
After the Katie sucks. Yeah.
Just making sure you saw that.
Got to have that last detail.
Absolutely.
Anyways, this week's guest, we have a friend that is in my widow club now, that, you know, the club that we never asked to be in. So, we have Megan Wolfel. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, we're going to dive into a couple different topics tonight. That I guess are uncomfortable to talk about, but we're going to go there anyways because that's what we do.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Meow. I'm probably just going to
do meow? A lot of...
Why would I meow?
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I do have questions for you later.
Oh, let's hear them.
Oh.
No, this.
When it comes
you're the guest. Let's get this rig rolling here.
Classic
so
man move.
Take over right away.
Yep.
Okay, so Megan, first I have to apologize because I randomly thought of you to have as a guest last week and I messaged you and you said, yeah, you'd come on. And then today, actually, I Googled your husband's obituary and read that it was April 19th that he passed away. And I had no idea it was this week. So
yeah, Friday will be 4 years.
Yeah.
So that's insane.
Sorry for making that raw for you.
No, not at all. It's totally okay. I don't know if I'll cry talking about it. You know, some days are good.
Jacket cries more than me usually, so... Watch out for that.
Challenge accepted.
Facts.
No, I thought that's why you asked. I thought you knew that it was...
No, I didn't know. Years. That was another one of my signs that
Random.
Jacket likes me talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Katie's always got her signs.
I do. I like them.
Lots of signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, do we kind of just want to start out with telling us what happened? Like bring us through the day of the accident and kind of what happened.
Yes. So, 4 years ago. So it was Sunday fun day, first of all. So he had been having fun, you know, day off, we were drinking, all the things. And he, it was mid-April, so it was, weather was starting to get nice, and he was trying to fire up that motorcycle that had been sitting all winter, and he had it on a tender, and it just would not fire up. And then, you know, the more he tried firing it up, the more frustrated he was getting, so.
What kind of motorcycle is it?
The deadly kind.
Ouch.
It was an old, I don't know what kind, I don't know. Mm. One that I didn't want him to have.
It had two wheels.
It had two wheels, and some handlebars and
nice.
Yeah, all those things. But yeah, just the more it wouldn't get started, the more, you know, those bush lights were cracking because he was getting frustrated. And it was probably 6:30, and he was two sheets to the wind, you know, frustrated but also having a good day. We're doing yard work for the first time of the season, you know, all the man things.
The fun stuff, yes.
But I just go outside and I'm like, dude, it's not going to start. Can you just go fish for a while? Go through a line out in the water. We need to get dinner going. Still trying. I'm like, you're going to like break your motor. Just stop. And so finally I got him in the back. And I'm like, okay, we're done with the motorcycle for tonight. This is okay. We've moved on. I need to go breastfeed two 11-month-olds. Let's do this.
Do that at the same time.
I did. I tandem fed.
Nice. Yep.
You would think of that.
There were different holds too. There's like two football holds. You can have them lay on each other. You know, we can get into that later.
I'm already learning so much.
Are you picturing it right now?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes. So, you know, he's preheating the grill. I sit down to start, you know, the milk machine. And thank you for the visual. And all of a sudden, I hear, you know, an engine start up, and I hear just the motor rev. And I turn around and look, and he's not on the dock fishing. He's not at the grill. And I look down the hallway, and I see a bike go by. And I'm like, son of a biscuit. I'm mad. So I go out the door, and I look at my neighbor, and my neighbor just looks at me, because she's been outside doing yard work all day, and they know, like, hey, he's feeling good today. And she just looks at me. She goes, are you going to yell at him tonight, or are you going to yell at him tomorrow? And I just go, tomorrow. There's going to be no sense in doing it tonight. Right. He's not going to remember.
Right.
You should have just done it that night, though. Just get it out of the way.
I know. I know you can hear me. Getting dark really quick. Yeah. Here. I love it.
I warned him we were dark already.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, 5 minutes go by, and, you know, he wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back. And we live on a lake, so I knew he was just gonna go for a quick drive, but then he just wasn't coming back. In the distance, I remember hearing sirens, and my heart just sank. I knew they were for him. I just knew it. So I go outside again, and Rhonda could hear him too, my neighbor, but she, I was like, yeah, have you seen him? She goes, no. And I said, okay. And she jumped in her truck actually and went to go like listen for the sirens and go find the sirens. I go inside and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to jump in the car and just go look for him. Looked everywhere, could not find my keys. My house is not big. Like, I could not find my keys in any of the normal places. Panic mode.
Yep.
I just needed to get the babies loaded, needed to go. Couldn't find them. The sirens just kept getting closer and closer and closer. So I'm looking out the back, see him turn into the lakes, go to the front. They drive past my house. I'm in full panic mode now.
Yeah, of course.
I just knew. Then one of the neighbors, another neighbor had drove down and had followed them. They come screeching into a halt, and one of them just jumps out and goes, go. And she grabbed the babies. And I mean, I was breastfeeding, so I threw on a t-shirt with no bra. I had no shoes on. Go jump in the truck. Her husband takes me down around the corner. I mean, this was 30 seconds away from our driveway that this happened. And I get down there and traffic's backed up. The fire truck was blocking the way so nobody could get through. So I jump out and run over, and a cop like stops me right away, and he just goes, you know, you can't go over there. And I go, that's my husband. I see his bike. I'm going. But I mean, this was 3 weeks into COVID. Right. So they wouldn't let me go into the ambulance. So he just started asking questions. Well, what's his name? And I said, you know, Mike Wolfel. He was like, how long has he been gone? And I don't know, like 10 minutes, not even. And goes, okay, well, you're just going to have to go to the hospital. And I said, no, I need to go see him. And he was like, no, you need to meet them at the hospital. We can't let you ride because of COVID. And I was like, well, can you at least, I yelled at him. I was like, can you at least tell me if he's alive?
Right.
And his face just...
Told you all?
Told me, yeah, all. I mean, I was still hopeful, but his face just dropped and just goes, they're giving him CPR right now, but mm-hmm. you need to go to the hospital. And I just sat on the ground and just watched. I never saw him on the ground, which I think helped later on because I was so close to my driveway, you know?
For sure.
But I just waited for the ambulance to pull out, and my neighbor took me to the hospital. And I was calling my in-laws on the way there. My parents went and relieved my other neighbor for the babies. And then when we pull up to the hospital, it was the longest drive ever.
Oh, for sure.
My gosh. I'm like, can you just hurry up and speed, please? Yeah. Like, let's just get there.
It's a little urgent.
Yes. But they were driving like they should have been. But we get there, and they had the barricades up because of COVID for the hospital. So, I mean, you couldn't even go into the parking lot without getting screened and tested. And I told my neighbor, go. I am not doing this BS right now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Drive through. So he did. He busted through. I jump out and go in, and they stop me right at the door, you know.
Screen you and everything. Yeah. Were you still in bare feet then?
Still barefoot. Yep. Absolutely. They're like, you can't come in here without getting screened. I'm like, they just brought in my husband. There was an accident. I'm not leaving. They're like, okay, put this on. Give me a mask. Like 2 minutes later, his parents come running into the waiting room too. Told them what happened. The nurse comes up and goes, you all can't be in here. They made them go wait out in their car in the parking lot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was just, are you kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous. So I'm like, I'll just text you guys as I know more. And I look down at my phone. My phone's on 3%.
Of course.
Of course. So a nurse brings over her cord and I plug it in. So I'm texting the parents and his parents. Like, there's been no updates.
Had you seen him at this point yet?
Nope. They just brought him in. They said that they were starting to work on him and they would let me know. They said, okay.
So were you just in the waiting room?
Just in the waiting room. And I think I texted my best friend, or I called my best friend. She didn't answer at the time, but then she called me back. You know, my sister, well, I don't even remember.
All the phone calls. See, I did it too. Yeah. I did just what comes to you.
What do you do?
Like, you need the support, I think, is where it goes to. That's where our brains went to.
Absolutely.
That's how I was going to get it.
I had no idea what I said to them. Couldn't tell you.
Same.
Yep. Can't recall those combos. But I know at one point the nurse comes in and goes, you can tell his parents they can come back in. And I was just like,
I know, this isn't good.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to, but okay. So I said, they can come in. And then as soon as they came in, they're like, oh, we need to put you in this room because it's COVID and it's not fair. Other people are here waiting. And I just looked at the nurse. I'm like, I'm not going in there because I know what you're going to say. She goes, I swear I know nothing. It's just for COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Lying little.
Yeah. I put you in the social worker's room or something. Is that what it was?
Just like right off the waiting room, like a private room. Mm-hmm. And within 30 seconds, the attending physician comes in and he goes, we're going to lose him. And
just like that.
Just like that. Right off the bat, we're going to lose him. I remember like his dad started crying and I didn't cry in the hospital at all. It was all just too
shock.
Too shocking. Yeah. It was too fast. Everything was happening so fast. But I remember I just looked at him like, okay, but what does that mean? Like, is he conscious? Is he
right?
Like, do I get to talk to him? Because
that sounds like he's still alive at that point.
We're going to lose him. Like, no. So only one of us could go back there. So I went back. And oh gosh, the whole room was just full of like, I don't know, 20 people probably. But I'll never forget, like, he's on the gurney, but there was like, you probably know what this is, like the big black machine giving the chest compressions.
Yep. The Lucas.
Is that what that's called?
It's terrifying. I never want to see one happen again, but I've seen him. It's, yes.
The whole body just shakes and jumps and holy crap. Yeah. It looked like it was terrible.
Yeah.
But I go in and they had me go on the side and I didn't even like have time to grab his hand and they didn't warn me. They just started shutting everything off. They like, you know, it's in the movies like, okay, well, we're going to shut the machines. No, they just started turning stuff off.
So did anyone call like time of death or did someone?
At that point? No, because I freaked out because I just got in here. Like, give me a minute to understand what's happening, process. So, I mean, I totally freaked out and just begged everybody, please don't stop. You have to keep trying.
Oh,
and so they turned the machine right back on and they just said, you know, look at his eyes, like his eyes were still open and he had very clearly been gone for a while. Like, it was very obvious, but you know, they basically just said, He's gone. He is no longer with us. Next time we turn it off, we're not turning it back on, okay? Like,
they told you to look at his eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, just look in there and just take it all in. It's not happening.
I can't lie to you. That's one thing I'm almost thankful of, that I didn't see him like that, because I think that would haunt me.
Yeah.
It has to. It has to haunt you.
I mean, I can see
you
it clear as day.
You can't unsee that.
I will never unsee
right?
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. But also, like, I get your feelings because, I mean, even as an EMT, I remember once, like, we came across a lady that was clearly gone, and all her family was standing around, and we did CPR on her regardless, because we're like, we need them to at least see that we're trying.
Yes.
So that they know, like, everything that could have been done was. And yeah. I was happy to do that. Actually, I was 9 months pregnant giving CPR to this lady in the back of a side-by-side. Just for the peace of mind for yes. those people.
I wish I would have been able to ride in the ambulance and see all of the efforts. Like,
yes.
I got the report after and, you know, dive deep in all of those details, and they did everything they could, obviously.
I'm sure they did.
But to see it is one thing, and to just see them turning it off was another. So,
right. Know. So what actually happened, or what happened that he got an accident?
He just went, the accident happened right at the boat ramp. So I don't know, nobody witnessed it, so this is all speculation, but he just lost control, and I guess there's a good side to, like, lay your bike down on and a bad side. I guess the left side's the bad
jacket.
Side.
I would say I don't want to go down on the exhaust side.
Which is
the
which
left
side?
My exhaust is on the right-hand side.
Okay.
So I would.
So you wouldn't burn yourself?
I would like to lay it down on the right-hand side so I could jump on the other side.
Wait, so you do want to lay it over on the right side?
Right. That's what I would think. Why? Okay. What did they say?
Well, they said that he dumped it on the left-hand side, and he was going on a left turn curve. So when he dumped it on the left-hand side, he slid for a little bit, and then the front tire hit the grass, and it picked the bike back up. And at that point, when it picked the bike back up, he went over the handlebars and broke his neck. This is essentially what happened.
Judas.
And the investigator said this could happen 500 times, and this never would have been the outcome. But it was just, I mean, he didn't have a helmet on. If he had one on, he would have walked.
Let's bring that up again, Jacket.
He would have broke his neck twice as hard if he had his helmet on. Yeah.
Yeah. He would have walked away without a Band-Aid. I mean, he had a little bit of road rash on his shoulder, but
it's just his neck that took
just
the brunt of it.
Yep. He landed, went over the handlebars and landed on his neck.
I mean, you could argue that with me all day long. I've had head injuries. Like nothing like that, but
I'm not going to judge it. It's your decision is your decision. It wouldn't be mine, but it's okay that it's yours.
I didn't say I'm not wearing a helmet.
Okay.
So get off my shit.
I'm excited to come to get on your shit. About that and the life insurance.
Yeah, right? Right.
I think I'm just going to start selling life insurance, to be honest with you.
Can't sell it unless you know about it and have it.
Nah, I can bullshit my way through it, probably.
Take it till you make it. Yeah.
So after, you obviously, like, did they unhook him and then, like, shut his eyes actually for you?
Mm-mm.
Or they just let him laying there, eyes open
him,
for you?
Yeah,
are you kidding?
No, they let him lay there, eyes open. And at some point, you know, they gave me time to just sit there and process. I mean, when they shut everything off, everybody left and just, we were just there.
I am shocked that they didn't shut the eyes.
Not right away. I can't remember.
Shut his eyes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That sounded insensitive. This is crossing the line, but that was insensitive.
No, it wasn't. It was totally fine. And eventually they let, you know, they asked me, can we have his parents come back now? And I said, yes, absolutely. I don't know if they ever saw his eyes open. I don't know. I can't remember at what point I realized they were shut. But I want to say they're still open. And I mean, and he had dirt all in his face and in his teeth and from, you know, going down. But he looked
completely
normal.
Because did they have him intubated? Was there a tube down his throat?
Yep, there was that.
They probably left that in there too for you then? Or did they take that out?
I saw it in there when I got in there, but then they took it out before his parents got in.
Good.
Yeah. And I know there was like a tube in his chest because his lungs had filled up with blood.
Yep.
So they were having to drain that. So that was still there. But yeah. Yep. And then I just remember when I was telling them, like, hey, I can't breathe. Like, I need to take this stupid mask off. They told me no at first. And I ripped it off. I'm like, I'm hyperventilating. I'm not used to wearing these stupid things. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it off. What's it going to do? Kill him?
Right.
COVID's going to get him now.
Let's pass that point.
Seriously. Come on now. So I was like, no, I'm taking it off. I'm like, I don't even care about your stupid rules right now.
I don't think I would have either. No. I don't think anyone could have told me what to do at that point, though.
No. And then once then his parents came in and just, I mean, people slowly started trickling in, like his family from Omaha.
They came to the hospital? Or
they did come to the hospital,
that yes. many people came to see him like that?
That many people, yep. His,
oh, my.
So it was his mom and dad, because his parents are divorced, so I have a set of in-laws here in town and a set of in-laws in Omaha. So both sets of parents came, his brother, his sister. I don't think his brother actually got to see him, but his older sister did. But at that point, you know, the funeral home had come and they're like, we have to take him.
Yeah.
But it was interesting listening to your other podcast saying like, oh, well, there's really not a time frame. And I'm like, they were like ready to take him
probably
to get
when
stuff
it's in
started.
The ER, I bet, because they need the rooms opened and
probably.
Everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I just remember they were like, okay, well, we need to get going and take him. And some family members were just like, this person's still coming. Can't we wait? And
why would you want to see him like that? I mean, you don't want to see him dead regardless, but I think you'd want to see him more cleaned up and, you know, in a more like suitable manner than in a hospital bed, dirty, dirt everywhere, eyes open, terrified.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the last image you want of him.
No, maybe it is.
Well, depends on who you are, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I
go 100 different ways.
In a weird, morbid way, I'm really glad I was there for that moment. But at the same time, like, it's something I'll never forget.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but, I get that.
So, yeah. And then some people were just like, well, can't you tell them they can't take them yet? And I don't know how this works.
No.
Like, and they're telling me they have to take him.
That's
so
when they look at us like we're the experts of death all of a sudden, and we know everything. And it's like, dude, my husband just died. I'm not even processing this for myself.
I haven't even cried yet. Like
that.
Yeah, I remember looking at one of the nurses too. She was sitting next to me because they brought me a chair so I could sit there and hold his hand for a while. And I just looked at her. I don't even remember what she was saying, but I totally interrupted her. I know I did, but I just looked at her and I just go, why aren't I crying?
Shock.
Yeah, and so that's what she said. She's like, you're in shock. Mm-hmm. The tears will come. And boy, did they come.
Right?
And then they did not stop.
No, and then we got so many extra wrinkles from him, too. Like, why is that such bullshit? We have to go through this crap, and then we get wrinklier because of it.
True.
All the cry lines
and all the extra gray hairs.
Yes!
You guys are pretty old, too, though, aren't you?
Very.
Not as old as you.
I mean, why do you think I got this sweet mustache?
You do have some really nice hair.
You've had time to grow it in. You do. You have beautiful hair.
His hair is thicker than mine.
It's gorgeous.
Like, shiny.
All right, get
shiny
on with it.
Pretty.
Change of subject.
Let's go.
Let's go back to death.
Yeah, back to death.
To death.
No. So I guess how, being COVID, what kind of funeral arrangements did you have to do, or how could you even have one?
We couldn't. So again, we were April 19th. COVID started what? March? End of March?
Like right then, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we were only three and a half weeks into COVID. So I mean, we go to the funeral home the next day and the funeral director just looks at me and he goes, I am word for word. I am very good at these types of conversations. I'm very comfortable. It's what I do on a daily basis, but I have nothing to offer you. We can't have more than 10 people in a room at a time. They hadn't figured out how to do the streaming of the services yet. Like that just wasn't a thing yet. Nobody had thought of it and nobody was set up for it. So
isn't
we couldn't
crazy?
Even do that.
That's not even that long ago. And
no.
We think of that now. It's like normal.
Totally normal.
All because some guy ate some undercooked delicious bat soup.
From Asia. From Asia? From China? Is that where it came from?
From China.
China.
Yep.
Was it bat soup?
It was bat soup. Bat soup. Undercooked bat soup.
Undercooked bat soup. See, I missed that detail. I was a little busy.
They set it on a movie. Pillow. It's the chicken of the cave, I think.
Oh, gross.
Delicious.
Gross. Bats are creepy.
Disgusting.
I saved a bat one time.
Why?
Yeah, I also want to know.
Because I don't like mosquitoes and bugs and stuff like that.
How did you save a bat?
It was laying on the ground and...
You gave it CPR?
No. I got a leather glove and I picked it up and because bats can't take off unless they're hanging upside down or you throw them into the air.
Oh.
So I threw them into the air. Well, it was a she and three little babies didn't see them on her. Three little babies come flying off like little torpedo bombs down to the ground, and I'm like, ah, shit.
So did you kill the three babies?
No, I would have killed them. I took them to a tree out back, and they climbed up it. I checked on them every few hours.
Oh, my God.
And
like mother hen over here.
Came back, and, well, I mean, what do I need to kill these little bastards for?
But I see what you did there.
They eat a lot of bugs, and I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah. I don't know a person that likes mosquitoes, but yeah.
So, I mean, how many times has a bat flew into you?
Did it flew into you?
No, I'm just asking. Bats or mosquitoes?
Oh.
Pick your battles.
I don't understand why you found it on the floor. Like, why was it on the ground?
It must have made a mistake, and sometimes animals mess up.
You know, weird. I didn't appreciate when they were in my attic.
Yeah. They creep me out.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
They're just ugly little creatures.
Yeah.
Maybe they think you're ugly.
They probably do. They probably do. I mean, vice versa. It's whatever.
Anywho.
So
getting off topic.
Yeah. So the actual funeral was
We didn't have one.
So what? Like you? Not so even with the family? Or?
Yeah, family came in and we could go in at 10 people at a time. But he even looked at me and he just goes, you know, we could do a 2-day open. People can come and go. He's like, but I can tell you right now, even 2 or 3 hours is really hard for a family member to stand there and receive, you know, condolences.
Sure.
So one full day, 2 days is going to be just really hard. And he's like, I'll do it, but I don't recommend it. So yeah, we didn't have a funeral. We ended up having him cremated. So I was really interested in all your cremation questions.
Right. That was the cardboard box thing. Who knew? So wait, if you had a funeral.
Oh, you listened to that episode?
I did.
If you had a funeral, though, did you have a casket then?
Nope. Okay. No, we didn't have a casket.
So you create, okay.
So yeah, so he probably had the cardboard box.
Cardboard box.
Yeah. I didn't get to pick that out, though.
I know. What? Yeah. Crock of crab.
Yeah. I just picked out the cardboard.
What was he going to pick out? Probably something lame.
Kim's caskets.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd be intrigued.
I was thinking about that, and I kind of piggybacked that idea off of Kel's koozies, you know, because it flows, but nonetheless, you could do both.
Yeah. Okay, so a question about the obituary.
Yeah.
Did you include in the obituary, like, why he died or how he died?
Couldn't tell you. I didn't write it.
Who did?
There was some drama over that, and cannot even tell you. Like, I can remember everything from the day he died up until I came home. And until I started crying. After that, it's a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are moments that I can see vividly, and then there are also stuff that I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to deal with this.
Right.
So I know somebody wrote the obituary, and then somebody else rewrote it. Like, okay, that's fine. So I couldn't even tell you what was in it.
Sucks.
Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's another burden that you don't think about.
I know when I know when it was reported on the news, you know, it was reported that he was not wearing a helmet.
So it was said it was death from a motorcycle accident.
Yes, absolutely. Like, that was common knowledge. But they did not say that, you know, he was intoxicated. And like really what caused it.
Sure.
So, and they think that he maybe hit, we kind of went on this earlier, but a patch of gravel, because he was right by that boat dock. So they don't know if he maybe hit that and just lost control.
Sure.
So that's what the speculation is anyway. So.
Yep. I can see that, I guess. I mean, your front brake's a touchy thing on the bike, and I mean, if gravel's there, it's or wet grass. I mean, I learned that shit the hard way when I was 16, 15 years old. And I mean, I can picture it in my head, I guess.
So the grass on the road is a real thing, like, for motorcycles? I see that all the time, shared on Facebook.
If you're trying to brake rapidly, oh yeah, it'll fuck shit up. But yeah. I mean, if you're driving over it straight, probably not quite as big of a deal, but still kind of a, you know, it's takes your traction. It takes your rubber off the road, you know? I mean,
interesting.
And it's, if you're turning for sure, you know, and I've dumped bikes over, like, especially like when I was a kid, my legs weren't long enough to reach the ground. I should
they
have.
They are now?
Oh, the sign's back up. It says Katie sucks. And there's 3 underlines now along
with
the exclamation points.
That was before.
Oh.
I did this nights ago because Katie sucks. I'm just.
Anyways.
I've dumped a bike over once before. So.
Got it.
Don't blow your. Yeah, I bet that's what did it was the grass clippings on the road.
Grass clippings, yeah. I think it was the gravel because it's not usually there. you know, mm-hmm. from the, everybody launching their boats, mm-hmm. you know, come April. So
Moss.
So yeah. The reason I brought up the obituary thing, because this has been on my mind a lot lately. How many times do you read an obituary that doesn't say what happened or how, or it just says like
all the time
they passed in their house with family or like that. And then it just leaves you wondering because you have a million people on social media sharing it, but you have no idea what happened. It drives me crazy.
And then everybody asks you
that, but mm-hmm. so that's where I was like, when I wrote Brett's, I just put it in there. It was a boating accident. I'd rather it be out there than people like start speculating and making up story after story. And exactly. this is what happened. And we don't know this.
Yeah.
You know, go that way. And then it got me thinking about like random GoFundMe pages, like the ones mm-hmm. that are also very broad that don't say what happened to this person, but they're asking for donations. And then you have the GoFundMe pages that say detail by detail of what happened, all the gruesomeness, what they left behind, all those things. Like I'm way more likely to donate to those ones than mm-hmm. I am to this one that doesn't say much.
I know we had a GoFundMe set up, which was also a source of tension in the family. Some people were, and I didn't do it. Some other family members did. But it was kind of a beautiful way for everybody to show up for Mike. Mm-hmm. Cause we didn't have a funeral, but it went viral. Which I'm so thankful for, but I couldn't tell you who all donated, and most of them were anonymous donations, but even that turned into a family argument.
I hate that. It's a thing with grief.
And I mean, nobody cares now, right? But in the moment, everybody's tensions are high and emotions are just running.
And everybody's grasping onto any last thing that they can have to do with Mike. And I think that's where a lot of it comes in. A lot of the greed comes in.
Absolutely. And like, well, we don't need to do this. We should just keep things private versus, you know, we need to make sure that things are taken care of because Mike did not have life insurance. Our quotes were sitting on the counter.
Classic.
Legit. So COVID started. He was down on work, right? Because everything slowed down with life. And he's like, oh, and I had been on him. So the more, you know, a wife gets on a husband to do something, the more he digs his heels in. Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to do it. It's a little stubborn. No, you don't think?
I wouldn't know.
Life insurance?
life insurance, what? So COVID came around. He's like, oh, well, you wanted me to call. And I'm like, I can't call and make the appointment for you. The nurse has to interview and like, you have to do this yourself. Mm-hmm. COVID came. And he's like, okay, well, I can do it now. Well, they're not coming to the house now to do the checks.
Yep.
And then boom.
That happens.
Cool. Yeah. So yeah.
Just sucks.
So we really needed that to help and fall back on. Cause I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom. I still am.
I was just going to ask that because your boys were 11 months old.
They were 11 months old. My twin boys. Yep. So there went everything. Our whole life just disappeared in an instant.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize that when it comes to like losing somebody you love, how deep losing a spouse really is. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the heartbreak and the grief, like everything about your life changes.
Everything. Yes.
The way you watch TV, the way you grocery shop, the everything.
Yep.
Like,
minor details that we took for granted how many times before it happened, all mm-hmm. of a sudden is like,
how am I going to pay my mortgage next week?
I had that one major. It was on my mind immediately. Like seconds within him passing. It was one of the things that went through my head was the first one was, how am I going to work and be on call?
Yep.
And the second one was, how in the hell am I going to pay my mortgage?
Yeah. How am I going to afford daycare for twin boys?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't worked, you know, because we had to go through IVF to have the boys. So mm-hmm. I had taken time off from my career to go and do that.
Do what? IVF?
Go through, in vitro fertilization.
You might have to briefly explain what that is to Jacket.
All right. So they they go in and I had to have an egg retrieval done. So my babies are test tube babies, essentially. They were made in a lab and then put back in me. So
10-4.
Yeah.
But that's expensive too.
It's expensive. And we had just done that. So, you know, our savings had just taken a big hit. Yeah. To make these beautiful little creatures and then bam.
That happens.
Yeah. So it was just crazy timing. And then, it was 2.5 weeks before the boys' first birthday, which May 7th is their birthday. Our wedding anniversary, our 9-year wedding anniversary was the day before on May 6th. So he died April 19th. May 6th was our anniversary. May 7th was the boys' first birthday. And then that weekend, either the 8th or the 9th was Mother's Day that year. Mm-hmm. So within 2 weeks, it was just wham, bam, bam.
Yep.
and then another band.
I mean, the anniversaries of anything suck, or holidays or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Sucks.
And the first year, you kind of touched on this in your story too, but the year of first, like you have the year of first with your kids, which is so fun, but you also have the year of first after
your spouse dies. Yep.
And those are hard, and everybody's really there for those things.
Yep.
But the second year,
they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's still there and loves you, but
it's not the support that you got, which I can't expect everyone to do that either.
They all have lives and they all have kids and their own families. And yeah, but that second year
it's kind of when it sets in though. Cause I don't know if it was like that for you, but my first year was such a haze.
Yes.
I don't remember a lot of it.
No, I don't remember the voices year one to year two. I look back at pictures and I barely remember.
Same. And I feel guilty, but I don't at the same time because I know I was doing basic survival mode. I was just getting through it and finding a way to.
I feel robbed by it for sure. And I have, you know, some resentment for him making dumb choices and taking that year away from me from the boys and so much more. But I've worked through that. But, you know, that was definitely there, that anger. So
I can see why.
Yeah. I mean, even the night that he died, that was the first time I didn't put my babies to bed. That was the first time they got formula milk.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was breastfeeding. Football holds. But, yeah, just, that first year, man, that was a blur. But everybody was there. But that second year was the hardest.
I would agree.
Yep.
I would agree. The reality sets in.
Yeah.
Which it needs to. I think it needed to because I didn't want to be in that haze the rest of my life either with people like helping me so much. I'm not making myself move on or move forward. Like I'm not making myself come out of those things.
Exactly. And I don't know if it was like this for you, but when it was a fine line between setting my new boundaries, like I'm trying to grieve, so we can't just have people randomly coming over. Plus, COVID's going on, and I had everybody in my house.
Yeah.
And I have two babies, and we didn't know if it was affecting kids at this time. So I am stressed to the max, and everybody wants to be there to help. And I'm like, nobody should be here, but I need everybody here.
Yeah, that's the worst of the worst.
Like, what do? You have to have people. But then, a couple weeks go by, and it's like, well, I have two babies, two huge dogs. I'm trying to grieve and sleep. What's that? People are coming over unannounced and, to help and to be kind.
But it's so you can't be upset about it, but at the same time, it's
overwhelming. I just got the babies to bed and now the dogs are barking and now I'm not going to sleep. Like I was just about ready to cry. I don't like crying in front of people. Like I just need to cry.
I cried in the shower. That was my place.
Yeah, because nobody could hear you and that was the only place that they would leave you alone.
Do you cry in the shower, Jacket?
No.
No, is that a chick thing?
Do you have to clean hair out of your drain?
Oh, do you have a hair shower?
What do you think?
Yes. You have more hair than I do. So when you
do to the whole wall, take your hair.
I do
put
that
it on the wall.
Ew. Yeah.
Yes. No. You got
no.
To.
I've never understood that one.
Oh, it doesn't go down the drain, and then you can just take it off. You have to.
Yeah.
The kicker is you have to take it off the wall. When you are done with your shower, you can't just leave it because that's grody.
See, I don't know.
You can, and then get it the next day. Looks like a spider.
But doesn't it fall if you forget to grab it?
No.
Roll it into a hairball.
Yeah, that's what you do. And then you can grab it all and throw it.
So were you like the friend that like when you go over to another friend's house, you like use like way more conditioner at their house because it's not yours?
I probably just didn't wash my hair or take a shower.
But nowadays.
What do you mean nowadays?
You look like you condition.
And right.
Do it all nowadays.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Do you condition the beard and the mustache too, all together?
No.
No? You let that get scrubbed.
This is not what we're talking about tonight. This, get on.
We're deflecting.
Yeah. The same. Moving forward.
See,
not moving on. Men
can
forward.
Old men can learn new tricks.
With the looks that are happening. But did you have anything just
nice recovery there?
Thank you.
Very
well.
I can
ask the question, but did you have anything like weird happen before that kind of indicated that it was coming? that the accident was coming.
I thought about bringing that up tonight too, because a lot of people, I have that written down as one of my questions for you too. Yeah. A lot of people have asked me, do you think Brett knew?
Yeah.
Like, do you think he knew? And my answer to that is every time has been yes, just from his lifestyle and how he lived his life, because I could not stop that man from doing anything he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So his famous saying was, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission.
Yeah.
And he used and abused that saying more times than I can ever count.
Yeah.
But I rethink this about like me in this situation. And I almost think anyone that knows me knows like my entire life, I've had the worst luck in the world. And I feel like it's just been like conditioning me to be able to go through a situation like I went through and like still come out with a positive attitude about it, because I feel like that's been my life my whole life.
Same.
It's weird when you think about it like that. But yes, I mean, I don't know that he actually knew that he knew, but I think he lived like he knew.
Yeah.
Which is how we that should all live. Young. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And he always told me, I probably won't live until I'm 30. And then he died months before he turned 30.
Wow, really?
So
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You think Mike knew?
Yeah. I think his soul knew. I don't think he knew. Mm-hmm. One thing he always said, though, is that roadside memorials bugged the heck out of him. They just creeped him out.
Really?
And he wasn't like creeped out by crosses or anything like that. He was like, the ones on the road just really bother me. I don't like them. And well, lo and behold, I think we know why now.
Yeah.
But even the weeks leading up to his death, just so many things happened that were out of the norm for him. Like he had a 71 Chevelle. He's had it since he was 16. He decided that, you know, I'm old enough now. I'm ready to move on and do something else. Maybe get a new car, maybe not. And so he sold it.
Wow.
But I wouldn't have been able to do that after he passed.
No.
Like it would just be sitting there.
No.
Like, what do I can't sell it. He would come back and murder me if I sold it. So it's just crazy to think that he did that on his own.
Subconsciously almost. Yeah. That's like Brett bought me an automatic mower, a robot mower, like a month before he died.
That's crazy. And Mike bought me a can opener, which an automatic can opener, because he was like, well, I'm never here. So, and I was struggling opening like baby jars of food and those are so easy to open, but for whatever reason, I could not open them. And then we had just like a hand crank can opener, and I could not for the life of me get it to work. So he came home and 3 weeks later. Yeah. So that was, and he never came home with random gifts. That was just not Mike. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I got that for you. And I was like, well, thank you.
I know.
Weird.
So maybe we should have seen it coming. I don't know.
Did he ever bring you like a vacuum cleaner or something sweet? Maybe a new broom.
On my duties after he was gone.
JK.
Switch one car for the other.
We get did it? Just switch vehicles.
Car to broom.
Car to broom.
Got right. it?
No, yeah. I picked up on that a while ago. You guys are crazy.
So how did you, like, what are the ways that you learned to cope with this? Like, did you start therapy? Did you get meds? Yeah. Like, what were your go-tos?
All the above. Well, I really wanted to drink, but, you know, I had...
Still do.
I had two kids, and I couldn't do that. So, I started therapy pretty much right away. I had a lot of other things to cope with as well, because I mean, grief is a very dark journey in and of itself. But we had the unfortunate twist. Like, I was not a perfect wife. I'm not going to say that I was, but neither was Mike. So a couple weeks before he passed, it came out that he had some infidelity going on.
He stepped out on you.
Yep. And I mean, I found that out 3 weeks before he passed away. So that complicated grief quite a bit. And I don't want to say that he's not here to defend himself. So,
no, but you're already, then you're like already journey. Grieving almost your marriage before he even died.
Yeah. And I hadn't gotten to the point of even processing my anger yet there. So it was like that got put on pause to grieve his death. And then all the other things, like the loss of my kids' dad.
Oh my goodness.
And then it was just a couple months, it was just a roller coaster. Like,
how did you find out that he stepped out?
The gal's husband contacted me on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah, and I just straight up asked him, like, who's this person?
She just reached out to you out of nowhere and he said, did. Guess what? She your didn't. Husband's sleeping with.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, the husband did. The gal's husband. Husband's
sleeping with my wife.
Yeah. Yep. Who she also had a boyfriend at the time, too. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Keeping it open there.
Keeping it open. Yeah, she was a peach.
What a tangled web we weave.
Right? But yeah, all of that came to light like 3 weeks beforehand. And so that really complicated the process. So I, you know, got to therapy pretty quickly after his, I probably started a therapy like a week after he passed. And two of the best things she told me were, because as you know, everybody's turning to you to help them grieve. Like
you turn into the counselor.
You do. Yeah. Or can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have, you know, and in those moments, it's like, I don't want to give anything away.
Because I don't know what I'm thinking yet. Either.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm thinking yet, but I also want to throw everything out in the front lawn.
Right.
So, but I have two kids that are going to want his stuff later, I think. I mean, I don't know if they will or not.
Same.
I hope so.
But that's also tricky because you don't want to like taint the memory of him by throwing that in there.
Exactly.
But how can you like, you still have to grieve and talk about it yourself.
And that was what she said, you know, because I couldn't tell family, I couldn't tell friends because I didn't want anybody to see him in a different light.
Taint his image.
Yeah, because this is my husband. Yeah, yes. And I love him.
Which
and
that also sucks. It's more on your shoulders that you have to alone deal with.
Yes.
It's just not fair.
Yeah, it complicated things. But I told my counselor, I feel like I have nobody to talk to. And she goes, you know, this is your story. That's not for you to defend him. Like, no, this is your story.
I mean, I think there are several widows out there that maybe have a spouse pass and they're not in a happy marriage. And how do they talk about it? Because when you have a spouse pass, you have to just be that person that you act like everything was amazing.
Exactly.
You know, there were no problems. He was the best person ever. Like, the room lit up when they walked in. Like, yes. No, it doesn't all the time with some people.
Right.
Well, every time I walk into the tavern, the room lights up.
No, and Mike was that person. Everybody loved Mike, which is, you know, how he probably found
himself. Well, they don't like me. They just want my money.
Did you know Mike?
No.
No? Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't know if you did.
No.
I don't think I've ever asked you. But, yeah, it just... I can't pretend that everything was okay while healing.
But so, you had to a lot of people.
I had to a lot of people, especially right away, you know, because family members weren't ready to hear that. Best friends weren't ready to hear that.
No, and I'm sure, like, did anyone else but you guys know at that point?
No, not until afterwards. Well, no, the day of, oh my gosh, nobody knows this. I don't think hardly anybody.
Well, don't say it here.
Well,
crossing the line,
I think I have to now. But and I don't say this to taint his image. This is just my this is what I had to go through.
Yes.
Yeah, this is my life. But the day of, we you know, Sunday fun day, my parents live like right around the corner, and we were at my parents' house just hanging out drinking, and Mike had been hitting it pretty hard that day, and you know, I'm breastfeeding, so I'm sober.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks being around, you know, drunk people when you're sober. But he had wanted to get some honey-do list items done. And one of those was, hey, we need to switch out the car seats from the infant carriers to like their big boy car seats.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out and took out the car seats while we were at my parents' house. And I was like, let's not install the new ones because, one, you don't have the patience when you're sober. Two,
do any of us?
We like, what if something happens? I even said that to him that day. What if something happens and these aren't installed right? Like, I can't, let's just do it tomorrow. We can do it another day. So we started like bickering, fighting. And my parents were just kind of like, what the heck? Like, this isn't normal for them. Like, I don't know. We were off. So we went home and Mike disappeared for probably an hour on his bike, like his pedal bicycle. He had rode over to my parents' house and told them actually what happened.
That he cheated on you?
That's what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I told him, I'm like, I'm not even mad about the cheating part right now. I'm mad that I have nobody to talk to about it because who am I going to tell? I can't tell anybody because now everybody's going to look at you differently and be mad at you. And I don't want that for you.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have nobody to talk to. Like, this just sucks. And I'm really mad at you for that. So he went over and actually told my parents that day. And they were, you know, gracious and like, okay.
Really?
Yeah, they were. They were just very like, you know, because very life happens kind of people.
At that point in it, were you planning on just working through it and like, working it out?
Yeah. In my head, it was really going to depend on how he handled the situation. Like, what steps are you going to take in our marriage to heal this? Like, you know, are you going to maybe slow down on the drinking? Are you going to go to counseling? Like, or are you going to brush it under the rug? Yeah. Are you going to put in the effort or pretend like, oh, we'll just get past this now that you know, kind of thing. And it's, Yeah, so it would have depended on him. And I've thought about that a lot. Like, would we still be together today if you were alive? You know?
So that was the day of the accident.
That was that morning afternoon.
What do you think? What was your conclusion?
Well, he came home and I was like,
No, I mean, would you still be together?
It would depend on him and how he handled it. I don't know. I would hope so. And I hope that I would have had the strength to walk away if he didn't. But I don't know. I had two babies.
And I was a stay-at-home mom. That complicates everything.
And I hope he would have, in my head, I think he would have manned up and stepped up and justified the situation, rectified the situation anyway.
Because how many years were you together?
We were together for 13, just shy of 9. I started dating him when I was 21.
Wow.
I was widowed at 33. So 12 years, almost 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, my entire adult life was gone in an instant.
Did you have, that's a weird thing that you just said that, because I remember another first thought I had was, I'm a widow at 31.
Yeah, I'm a 33-year-old widow.
Yeah. Like, this can't be real.
No. And then I'm sure we found our widow support groups online.
And I love them.
I love them too. They're so great.
I'm mad that I'm in the group, but yes. I'm happy to have so many like-minded people. Whatever makes us lose a spouse and go straight down to the dark humor, I have no idea.
Where do you find these groups in case somebody's
listening?
Somebody
reached out to me when I lost Brett and said, hey, I don't know if you're ready for this yet, but I'm in this group called Widow Dark 30. And it's a lot of very dark humor, very dark humor. And you have to prove that you're a widow to get into it, right? So you have to submit the obituary, answer a bunch of questions. And this shit that they post, sorry, Dad, said another bad word. The shit that they post, though, is raunchy and hilarious. Bad and dark, but absolutely hilarious. Like anytime a big person dies, like LeBron, for an instance, they were like, when's it too soon to reach out to his wife?
Yeah,
just add her to the group. Add her to the group. She needs to be part of us. But it's kind of brought a lot more light. As dark as it is, it brings a lot more light to our situations,
because
there's so many other people going through the crap too. So it's an open place to vent and
laugh when nobody else gets
the laughs. Yes, it's
like we're sitting here laughing and
Jack is staring at us terrified.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Oh, man.
Keep my mouth shut.
I don't know about you.
My mouth shut, my ears open.
When you started finding these groups, widow groups, I would join one, and then everybody's in their 60s and 70s.
And nice. Crying posts and very sad and depressing posts. Same. Yes. And they were just not for me, so I left them all.
I'm 33. I don't, you guys lived a whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the same.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
And you didn't have young kids.
What were those pages called?
There were just widow support groups or I don't know, generic widowed.
Widowed and dating in the 50s.
Yeah.
I can send you an invite. I think I'm still in one.
Oh no, it's
so did you what platform was that Widow Dark 30 on?
Facebook.
Just
hilarious.
So your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Can I tell them what your last post was?
I don't care.
I lost my marbles when I saw this. It was so funny. So I see that, I get a notification. Katie made a post. So I go to the group and I look, and she's like, well, in light of the trends that are going on, I'll play, but dead husband edition. Who's hotter, dead husband or new husband?
Oh, jeez.
Well, the new trend lately has been, is my husband hot or is he just hot because I think he's hot?
Right.
And so I was like, well, I've just been watching all these posts for weeks and it's just been annoying to me. And so finally I was like, you know what?
Is that crossing screw the this. Line?
Yeah. So I said, yeah, let's start a new widow trend. Who's hotter, my dead husband or my current one?
And all the comments were just like, I don't know, girl, but dang, you lucky.
Yeah. I'm doing fine. It's fine.
But I lost it. That's the kind of stuff. That's in the USA.
It was all Miles read it. He read every single comment and laughed right along with me. Like he knows everything that I do and he's fine with it.
It's so funny.
Miles has always been a great fake laugher. I'm kidding.
And the next day there's an empty toilet paper roll.
Yeah, that's where they're coming from. That's exactly what's happening right there. You just solved the problem.
Yes.
Every night I'm a pain in the ass. He leaves a toilet paper roll for me in the morning.
Sorry, Miles.
I did tell him, though, after last week, I said, you know, I noticed on the podcast, I need to get a lot better about interrupting people. I'm very bad at just interrupting right in the middle of them talking. And he wasn't saying anything the whole time. Like, he wasn't reacting to me. And I just finally looked over at him. And he's staring at me like, really? You are just now figuring this out? Because I go through this every single freaking night with you.
Just meow figuring it out.
Just meow. Oh, that's too funny. But going back to the day of that, you know, when Mike came home and he told me what he had told my parents, the last thing I ever said to him was thank you. Like, just thank you. And he said, you're welcome. And walked outside and started doing his fishing that I told him he had to go do to leave the bike alone.
So did your, this is crossing a line, but did your mind ever go to, like, did he somehow make the accident happen?
You know, yes, it went there, but he was only going 27 miles per hour. And yeah, he was not speeding. Yeah, I know.
My eyes are really big right now. That's why she's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even the investigator said, I don't know if I already said this, but the accident could have happened 500 times the same way, and this never would have been the outcome. But just, it was just a...
Yeah, because you would think if he was going to actually send it, he would have gone like 90 into a fence post or something.
On the interstate or the highway. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, yeah. And that was one thing. I did go see a medium, or I had like a phone interview with a medium about 4 months after he passed. And that was one of the things I asked her to. And she said no. And everything that Gal said in
the, it's comforting though, isn't it?
Yes.
It was one of the best things I ever did.
So everything she has predicted has come true. There's one last thing that just hasn't had the chance to come to fruition yet. Yes.
Next chapter.
But, you know, everything else, she was so accurate. And she knew that I had twins and, you know, that it was a motorcycle. I mean, everything.
I know, it's weird.
But you don't think she Facebook stalked you?
I don't think so. I mean,
I'm just.
There's certain things that they bring up that there's no
way
they could
know.
I am. Yeah. And I made a separate email address to make the appointment.
To throw her off. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yep. Good call. So that way she didn't have my name or anything. Yep. She knew my first name, but other than that, she didn't know. And it was like a phone Zoom interview.
Same. But they even said things that like Lane had said that day. She brought up something that he had said that day that he learned at school. And she said that she said that Brett had saw that he learned how to write his name that day at school. And he came home from school and told me that day.
That is insane.
It creeped me out.
Yeah.
But it was also awesome because it does make you think like, oh, this is real. Like, everything I've always believed in is real. And he is watching over us and he is there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I never went back to this, but when we came home from the hospital after he passed, the first thing I saw when I walked in the door were my keys. And they were sitting there right on the corner, right where I always leave them, on the counter in the kitchen.
But they were not there before.
They were not there. I guarantee they weren't. And the first thing I said when I walked in, I just looked at my dad and I go, where'd you guys find those? And he's like, they've been there. No, they weren't.
WTF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were not there. But again, we didn't have car seats installed. So what was I going to do with the babies?
It was just, you weren't meant to
Not supposed to take it. Yeah. So everything that just came full circle. But
I was just doing that because I hit the cord and it drove me nuts. Anyways, okay, so moving on to our next somewhat topic in your life that I'm picking apart right now.
Yes.
So your boys, twin boys, they were 11 months old at the time.
Yes.
And then time went on and then what happened?
Well, I suspected, and I even told Mike before he passed that I was suspecting that Rhett might be on the autism spectrum. And I mean, he was still very young, but some of the signs were there. And with talking to my pediatrician, she goes, you know, you really can't compare twins. It's, you know, they all develop at different ages and are different rates. And I'm first time mom with multiples.
Sure. Like, how would you know? Yeah. What were your signs though? Like,
He doesn't do this anymore, but he would stare at the TV and hand flap. Hand flapping is a big one. It's like a stim. They call it stimming. Just a repetitive motion to kind of cure there and calm down the system. Then he wouldn't respond to his name. I'd say Bo, and Bo would look right over at me, and then Rhett, and he would just
not there.
Yeah, not there. But I would, you know,
Jacket
open a
does
candy.
That to me.
Yeah, selective hearing. And it made me wonder, is this just male selective hearing starting mm-hmm. so young? Like, I don't know. But it wasn't hearing problems. I said, like, you know, the kid can hear me open a cellophane wrapper across the street and he'd
right,
come running.
Candy.
Like, yes, he will not miss that. Mm-hmm. So it's not a hearing issue. But he wasn't officially diagnosed until about a year ago. So when he was 3. So yep, he's, there's different levels of the spectrum, but he's ASD2. So he wasn't completely verbal. He was partially verbal at the time he was diagnosed, but he was behind. So he's been in speech therapy, occupational therapy.
Bo is normal.
Normal 4-year-old, rotten little
and Rhett
wonderful
has
kiddo.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But to the point where, like, when he grows up, will he be able to do things on his own and
yes.
move out and stuff like that?
Yes, he should be a fully functioning adult. But right now he's learning how to, like, process anger and emotions and really use his words. So we have to come
Miles
up with...
Miles needs to go through that. Sorry, oh, that was me interrupting again.
But he's working really hard to, like, come up with play scripts. So he doesn't know how to, like, socially interact. It's really tough for him. We have a therapist that comes in the morning to the house every morning and then every evening. And then he goes to occupational and speech therapy once a week to another location. So, yeah, he's come a long way in a year.
So will he be, like, I don't know, like, the proper way to say this, but yeah. will he be normal as an adult?
I think so. Like, I hope so. His communication has come a long way, which has totally helped his anger outburst too, because now he can communicate with me and tell me what he wants.
Why he's mad.
A year ago, I couldn't get more than him. It's called echolalia. That's all he would talk is echolalia, just so, like, repeating his movies or TV shows and those scripts that he heard on TV. He wasn't coming up with anything on his own.
Bam! 97X, the future of rock and roll. I just watched that like a month ago.
Rain Man.
Watched the whole movie for the first time. Yep.
It's such a good one.
It is a good one.
Jim Carrey?
No, Dennis Hoffman.
I don't know the movie.
No, not Dennis Hoffman. Is it Dennis?
Yeah.
Dennis Hoffman, yeah.
And Tom
Cruise. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Is it Dennis? Hoffman. Yeah.
Is it Dennis Hoffman?
No, I think you're wrong.
I think I'm wrong too. It's not Dennis Hoffman.
You're probably wrong.
Jack, it never Dennis is. Hoffman. So,
but it is Tom Cruise. And oh my gosh, it's going to bug me.
We need to Google it.
What's it called?
Go ahead.
Rain Man.
Rain Man.
What's
Rain
it called?
I don't think I've seen
but
it.
But that's the same. Yeah, that's the same thing. He is pretty severe in that movie. But
I bet people that are listening
Dustin
right
Hoffman.
Now are.
It is Dustin Hoffman.
Okay, yep. So you were right. Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that quite yet because you were like, oh, I'm right. No, it doesn't.
No, I didn't say I was right. I said you're probably wrong.
I want to know what the hell movie I'm thinking about with Jim Carrey, which that's a whole different. It's fine. We can move on. Something about him being like on a radio thing or. Miles will know. Anyways.
The Truman Show?
Yeah.
I was going to say the Truman
that's
Show.
It. That is it. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Has funny. Nothing to do with being on radio.
So you guys can figure that out, but you can't figure out my harmonica song.
He's
so
a TV
good
show.
For you.
I mean.
Wait till you hear it again and you're going to be like, that's exactly what you played. I'm going to be like, I freaking know.
Maybe I should start playing the harmonica.
Maybe you should.
Anyways, off topic.
So I have a question for you, Katie. Did you like go through Miles or not Miles's phone, Brett's phone after?
No, because it was in the river with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
No. So, I mean, I have it.
Yeah.
I have his phone. And there's several times I've wanted to because a lot of like rumors came out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Speculation crap that I never believed anything of, but more so I wanted to prove that it wasn't true.
Right.
So. Yeah. But no, I wish I could.
Yeah, I have it, but I started to at one point, and then I'm like, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't think I would have
heard the rumors, but again, he's not here to defend himself.
Right.
So it's like, I know about the one for sure, and other than that, everything else is just hearsay.
I was lucky enough that his iPad was still logged into his Facebook, so at least I could get on and like make myself be like his person. That if something happened, I could memorialize his Facebook page, and it wouldn't get removed.
Yep.
So I was able to do that, but
so one of my friends actually had to recover Mike's Facebook page because he had just deleted it because the husband was trying to reach him via Facebook. So he had just deleted his Facebook, and I think he said it was because I'm just on it, I'm getting distracted at work, and I just want to delete it. And I was like, okay, well that's weird.
Oh yeah.
And then that's when the husband contacted me because then his profile was gone. So one of my friends actually helped me recover his Facebook account and then memorialized it.
All you women are all detectives.
We could all work for the FBI.
For real, though.
I know.
As much as I love true crime, I'd love to.
Yeah. We can find stuff out so quickly.
It's yeah. It's crazy.
Are you in any of those, like, are we dating the same guy groups?
Yes, just to follow what they say. It's hilarious.
So entertaining. And I mean, one person posts something and then 100 girls are like, what's the name? I'll search it. And then boom, within 10 minutes,
they all have answers. Yeah. I have actually a really good friend that was on it once. And I don't want to say his name because he'll get really mad at me. It's your fake son, Jake. Now we all know who it was.
Oh, good kid. Good kid.
Hey, not everybody that's on those things is
Nobody had anything bad to say about him. It was all good things, but
those situations, these women just come up with like, oh, got all the deets. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a quick time out. We'll be right back.
Word from our sponsors. Actually, just hold your book that says Katie sucks.
Yeah, I will. Because you do suck. We're recording, by the way. We are back.
Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Look at that.
It was like 6 months ago, but okay. I was told that I'm supposed to say that we do have a sponsor.
Oh, we do? We do.
Pennywell and Septic.
Yep.
LLC. They donated this chair, this sweet chair that I'm sitting in.
It's a nice awesome one, too.
And
he can recline and stuff.
It's going to be the photo of me tonight, the chair. So, anyways. You two continue on with your horror stories.
Our lives.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yep. Well, I did have a question for Katie. So does Lane ever, like, does he want anything of Brett's? Like, has he said?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, like, anything
I just don't know what to keep for the boys at this point.
I kept quite a bit of everything. I mean, especially dirt bike wise, like, all his gear and stuff like that I kept because I figure he's already into that. Like, he'll probably find that. And then I kept, like, when I did finally do the closet clean out, I kept his, like, nice clothes because Brett was a very preppy person. Like, he is the one that taught me how to dress nice. No comments about that.
Just in the nick of time.
Yeah, I was about to give you the business there. You look like shit.
No, he literally used to shop for me though, and he would buy me clothes because I clearly had no fashion sense before him, but he was very good at it. So I kept all of his like nice outfits and stuff, thinking like someday he wants them, he can have them, or you know, whatever. But anything that he finds of Brett's now, he gets so excited about. Like, he had his watch for a couple weeks that he was just like all over the place, and he had one of Brett's jerseys, and he wore that all the time. I mean, anything that he has of his dad's, he thinks is awesome. So
that's great. Yeah. And I know at first, like, when everybody was asking for stuff, it was just like overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Stop asking me. Yes. And they were asking for like the big ticket items, like his fishing gear, his hats, his hoodies,
dirt bike boots. Yeah.
I'm like, this is all like, no, you can.
Who's asking? Like friends or family?
Yeah,
or
both. Everybody.
Just give them like a belt buckle or something.
Yeah, but why do we have to give them anything?
Yeah.
Why are they entitled to that?
I'd give them a shoelace.
Especially like right afterwards. Like, give it some time.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I mean, you can have my clothes.
Yeah. Your clothes that you can rip apart with like a snap of the fingers.
And God. You get to that point. You get ready, but you're not ready at first. And I even had a family member, a friend of a family member messaged me asking me to give the said family member items like 3 weeks after he passed. And I was like, I don't know who you are, and you're asking for my husband's items? Like, get out of here.
Stupid.
So stupid. I will when I'm ready. And that was my other thing that a therapist told me, like, you're not here to help anybody grieve. It's not your job to help them grieve.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it on your own. Everybody else will figure it out. So those two things, like, this is your story. And you're not here to help anybody else.
Yeah.
You got them and you and the boys to figure out. So two best pieces of advice ever. Mm. That and get life insurance.
Get life insurance.
Yeah. And wear a helmet.
Life insurance.
And wear a helmet. And do life insurance.
Are you done?
I don't know. Do you have life insurance yet? I don't know.
You need a life insurance agent on here next.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. No, we already we're booked out for like 6 months. So, good luck. Anywho. Next question.
I guess. I mean, what is it like jumping back into the dating scene, or what was it like for you, especially? going from being a widow, but not only being widow, now having two twins, one being on the spectrum. How do you even introduce any of that?
It's like a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. And the last time I dated, I was 21. Were dating apps even a thing back then?
No, smartphones?
No. Nope. Like, I feel so old.
I mean, funerals weren't, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just a dumpster fire. And anybody our age that's in my mind at the time, anybody that's left is just...
Jacket.
See, there are a few gems out there.
I kind of blacked out for a bit there and wasn't listening. What'd you say?
No, there
are. Were you talking about life insurance
there
again?
Gems.
Did you really just drown us out?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I'm like, I was staring at the microwave over there and I'm like, man.
You hungry?
When is this going to end? I didn't mean, you got to get back up by the mic. I didn't mean to be rude. I just meant like, man, this is. You guys really know how to suck the fun out of my life.
But we're so used to it.
Like, I know. And I'm just like, now there's two of you. And not just one. Like, I miss having the boys on the show.
Yeah.
You know?
You are specifically the one that said, Katie, this needs to be diversity, like, friendly. Like, you need to get one of your girlfriends on the show.
That's enough.
And now he regrets.
Regrets were made. Like,
but yeah, no, dating, it was just awful. Yeah, close the door.
That was a punch in the nuts, I think, right there.
I mean, did you date much after Breck?
I'm not good at being lonely. I'll just straight up say that. I am not good at being lonely at all. I have to have somebody to talk to all the time. And a lot of people don't understand that, but like, it is not the same coming from being married for 4 years and dating for 3 years before that to going to absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like I wanted somebody to talk to.
For sure.
Or like, you know, yes, you have your friends, but your friends go home to their husbands or their boyfriends at the end of the night, and then you're sitting there by yourself.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, yeah. I talk to people. I wouldn't say I like seriously dated anyone until like Miles, obviously, which is when I was whoring around, you know.
Widow fire. It's a thing. Is it not, Katie?
Oh, Widow for sure. Fire.
Yeah.
For
Widow
sure.
Widow fire is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I mean, in light of everything that happened, finding out about Mike, it's like, it's been since I was 21, since I was with anybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I was ready to date
quickly. You're a virgin again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I probably...
Oh, that's how that works.
You didn't know?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. Now you do.
Well, plus, you know, you went through the whole kid thing and...
Sorry, Bush.
you have kids and like all the things. So, yeah.
Like I said, all the baggage. I got lots of it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start dating until 8 months after he passed. And even then, I felt like that was a long time considering everything that was happening with us.
Mm-hmm.
But people had a lot to say about it.
Oh, I know. They always do.
They always do. Always do,
man.
But they don't know.
No. So, and that's right.
And it used to bother me a lot. But now I'm just like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. You start to not care.
You don't care about anything. Yeah. Anybody's opinions. Which really terrifies me for when I do join the workforce.
See, I'm
again.
Not afraid to crack my beer in front of the mic.
Okay.
I ain't hiding it.
Oh yeah, when I do go back to work, I'm not gonna have any patience for people. I'm worried about that. Like, what am I going to do? Go back into banking and listen to people complain about getting ID'd? Like, you're alive. I'm checking your ID.
Do you think you will go back to work eventually?
Eventually. I hope so. Boys are going to school full time next
year. Yeah, why wouldn't you? There's a lot of scams out there. So why wouldn't you check their IDs to withdraw money and all that shit?
People complained about it all the time. Or
good.
Like I left.
Complain. I don't give a shit.
Exactly. Or, you know, when I was doing mortgages, when I left my career, I was in mortgage lending. You know, people would complain about having to send in documents or proof of income. Like, you're buying a house.
I could see if it's a small bank, small local bank or something, but if it's a bigger bank, then
people just complain about stupid stuff.
You gotta have something to complain about. Yeah, everybody does,
but I don't think I have the patience for it anymore.
That's
the problem.
And that's what I told Jacket on like the first episode we did. Like, you kind of learn how to be more selfish and more like self-aware.
Yes.
And where you don't care about kissing everyone's ass all the time, 24/7 anymore. And now it's more like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
You don't deserve that from me.
Exactly. Like, I just saw something the other day that just said, you know, I'm a good person. I'm not always a nice person. And that really resonated with me because mm-hmm. it's like, I can turn up when I need to, especially when the rumors are flying, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the judgments are coming, but mm-hmm. that doesn't make me not a good person.
I agree.
You know,
gosh. I concur.
You concur. Do you feel that too in your soul?
Yeah.
Okay. So back to our original subject, like just to kind of wrap up here. So, you know, we're coming up on the 4-year mark. So where are you at now? Like, are you at a place that you're happy now? You're settled or you're like getting there?
We're getting there. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The boys are going to be in full day kindergarten next year. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. I'm excited for them, but excited for me too. So I could have some, you know, time to breathe mm-hmm. without 4-year-olds
sure.
on top of me. but yeah, I've met somebody who's pretty amazing. So hopefully we'll see where that goes.
Sparks are flying.
The good gems are still out there.
Good.
You know, the dating apps totally had me convinced that there were none left.
But, how'd you meet this one?
At the beer garden at Columbus Dates, actually.
Oh, so it wasn't an app.
It wasn't an app. No.
Good old fashioned dating.
Who would have thunk? Right. That was still a thing, which is really hard when you're a single mom.
Widowed. With twins.
Yeah.
And with one on the spectrum.
Special needs.
For like, sure.
People don't want to call
on the fucking baggage. Yeah. Like, get used to it. Here it is.
But dating was super hard just with that alone. You know, oh, your in-laws are going to come watch the boys. What are you doing tonight? The first time I had to say I was going on a date, man.
How'd that go?
Totally fine. My in-laws are fantastic.
So are mine.
Yeah, they're wonderful, which makes life so much easier.
Yep, same.
Especially when I came out and said I was starting to date. They were just so...
Yep.
Yeah. Supportive. Yeah. So
my mother-in-law actually came out and said, you know what? I told everybody, you're young. You don't need to be alone. You need somebody. Like, you're going to date and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually the one that said that to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I love you so much. Like, you're the best human.
That's so great.
So she kind of basically gave me her blessing to like make smart decisions on who I decide to date. Because I think she also threw that hook in there that they better be good to Lane or like, I'm going to get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly. Touché, I don't blame her.
Right.
But he's wonderful and he's great with the boys. So
I'm so happy to hear that.
Me too. I'm very blessed.
The boys that'll be good for the boys too. We'll have someone around and
absolutely
get that manly effect in there.
Exactly. Yes. They need the testosterone. Boy, do they need it.
Yeah. Well, Megan, it has been awesome having you this week. Thank you so much for opening up and talking about everything. And are you guys ready to hear my song?
Yes,
now?
It's bugging me. I need to find out.
Oh man, I knew it was this.
You didn't. You didn't hear it yet.
I know. I'm just already saying that I knew what it was.
All right. Here we go.
I'm going to kick my...
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
I'm so stupid. Yes, of course.
I thought for sure.
Can you play it again?
Yeah. And you'll hear it again. I mean, it's good.
Maybe we should have a competition where I play...
You want to try to play this song now?
On the harmonica, yeah.
Right now?
No, maybe next week.